Engel, Oladamare, Jenyami, Olarun, God, Jehovah, Allah, Amun-Ra, the many names for the original ancestor, the ancestor who sees all and knows all, the creator of the heavens and the earth. We do not pour libation to you, but this morning we come pouring libation in memory and honor of our ancestors and asking them to intercede with you on our behalf. We know that our ancestors, being in the spirit world, are closer to you, and there's a greater opportunity that our request will be granted. We ask this morning that you grant the listeners the willingness to open their hearts and their minds to the information that's going to be shared, such that they will hear the truth and then be able to act on the truth. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. To our ancestors from Mother Africa, the ancestors who were the beginning of the human family that we now have, no matter what your ethnic or cultural background is, the beginning of human life as we know it was on the African continent. Every person on the face of the earth has as their original ancestor an African. We ask those Africans who were the first to conceive of a family, the first to plant a seed, the first to till the land, the first to domesticate animals, the first to navigate the mighty Nile River to Egypt, the first to build a skyscraper, the first to do surgeries, the first to explore the wonders of the galaxy, and as importantly, the first to conceive of the belief in one God. We ask those ancestors to come and be with us today, to bring their wisdom, their hard work, their ingenuity to all that we do. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. To our ancestors who were murdered, displaced, diminished during our great Holocaust, our great Miafa, we do not forget you. We remember your unwilling sacrifice as your bodies are lined the Sahara and the Atlantic Ocean. We remember you and we honor you and we ask that you come and be with us today. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. We ask our ancestors who gave us the great document, the Ma'at, to come be with us, bring your additional sense of honor and integrity as embodied by Ma'at to our discussions and our listings this morning. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. To those ancestors from the Caribbean islands, from Brazil, from the southern parts of these United States, who through your unpaid labor laid the groundwork for the civilizations that are enjoyed by billions of people around the world. To those ancestors, we say we do not forget you. We remember your sacrifice your hard work, and we ask that you come and be with us today to inspire us to also do the work required to correct a world that has gone mad. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. And to those ancestors who are yet to be born, those ancestors for whom we do good work, those ancestors to whom we pledge to honorably do righteous work all the time for ourselves, for our family, for our community, so we can be correct to be able to benefit from the largesse that the Creator has provided for all of us. Ancestors, we pledge ourselves to continue to do work such that when you return, this place will be a better earth. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. And finally, we'd like to ask you and our audience to think of one of your ancestors, someone who you would like to be with us this morning. On the count of three, ask that ancestor to come and be with us. One, two, three. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation, libation, libation. It is good.
That people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
Scrub is a guy that thinks he's fine, is also known as a son, I'm talking to you. If you have a shorty that you don't show love, oh yes, son, I'm talking to you. Wanna get with me with no money? Oh no, I don't want no
scrubs never rising. I don't find it surprising if you don't have the G's to please me and bounce from here to the coast of overseas. So let me give you something to think about. Inundate your mind with intentions to turn you out. Can't forget to focus on the picture in front of me. Do it clear as DVD on digital TV screen. Satisfy my appetite with something spectacular. Check your vernacular and then I get back to ya. A diamond like precision, insatiable is what I envision. Can't detect acquisition from your friend's expedition. Mr.
You are listening to Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Hotep and greetings, 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 my brothers and sisters. Welcome to another Thursday evening of the After 7 edition. We are here with the women of the new millennium as they talk about the issues and discuss the world in the way that they see it. We are so happy to have them as a part of the Black Reality Think Tank family. And they've been with us for a while, and they are doing a marvelous job of letting us understand the world from their eye point and their viewpoint. I read an article today in the paper that said that the millenniums are the largest population of group in America. And so they are the future. They are the ones that are going to have to carry on as the baby boomers begin to move out. So we really appreciate them, and I'm so appreciative of their voice so that we can understand the world, as I said, in the way that they see it. And so they're here every Thursday evening from 7 to 9, and I'm sorry, from 6 to 8, and 7 to 9 Eastern Time, 6 to 8 Central Time. So I'm going to get right into their discussion. They have a very dynamic program for you tonight, and they're going to get started. And so I am going to turn it over to Miss Maya Marie. Good afternoon, Maya. How are you today?
Good evening, Dr. Rogers. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
What's going on, people? It's your girl, Maya Marie, and welcome again to the After 7 radio show. Our ancestor profile for tonight is the fierce and passionate left eye. Born on May 27, 1971 in Philadelphia, PA, Lisa Nicole Lopez, better known as Left Eye, was an African-American rapper, singer, music producer, and dancer. She was a member of the Grammy Award-winning hip-hop R&B group, TLC. The oldest of three, Left Eye began playing with a toy keyboard at the age of 5. And later composed her own songs. By the age of 10, she formed the musical trio, the Lopez Kids, with her brother Ronald Jr. and sister Raina. They sang gospel songs at churches and local events, and then after that, she went on to attend Philadelphia High School for Girls. A couple years after graduating, left eye heard of an open casting call for a new girl group and moved to Atlanta to audition. Originally, the group was called Second Nature, but was renamed TLC, derived from the first initials of each member, Tian, Lisa, and Crystal. Things didn't work out with Crystal, and the group's manager, Perry Pebbles Reed, brought in Damian Dame backup dancer, Rosanda. In order to keep the name TLC, Rosanda needed a name that started with a C, so Lisa chose Chili for her. Tian was T-Boss, her first initial, and Boss, slang for boss, and Lisa was Left Eye after New Edition member Mike Bivens once told her he was attracted to her because of her left eye, which was more slanted than her right. Left Eye emphasized this by wearing glasses with the right lens covered by a condom, keeping with the group's support of safe sex, wearing a black stripe under her left eye, and eventually getting her left eyebrow pierced. The group exploded onto the scene with their debut album, Ooh, on the TLC tip in 1992. The album produced three top 10 hits, Ain't Too Proud to Beg, What About Your Friends, and Baby, Baby, Baby. It sold 6 million copies worldwide and led the group to becoming a household name. 2 years later, in 1994, they followed up with Crazy Sexy Cool, selling over 23 million copies worldwide. This album produced three number one hits, Creep, Red Light Special, and Waterfall, and earned TLC 2 Grammy Awards. The group's third album, Fan Mail, was released in 1999 and was a tribute to their loyal fans. It featured hundreds of their names on the album sleeves as a thank you. Fan Mail featured hit singles, No Scrubs and Unpretty. I heard No Scrubs, right? The album sold over 15 million copies and scored TLC 2 more Grammys. During the recording of Fan Mail, public conflict began amongst the group, and Left Eye left to embark on a solo career. She recorded her solo debut album, Supernova, which was originally set to be released in August of 2001, but was repeatedly postponed. The album featured a song titled A New Star Is Born, which was dedicated to her late father. Left Eye was featured on several singers, including Spice Girl, Melanie C's Never Be the Same Again, which topped the charts in 35 countries, including the UK. She was also featured on You Know What's Up by Donnell Jones, Gimme Some by Toni Braxton, and had been previously featured on How Do You Like It by Keith Sweat. Left Eye created Left Eye Productions to discover new talent in 1996, and she discovered and mentored R&B trio Black. She helped them secure a deal with Columbia Records and executive produced their self-titled debut album. She also made a cameo appearance in their music video for 808 and spit a verse in their second music video for I Do. The star created the UNI Studios for the purpose of recording solo projects. Her family made the studio open to the public as Left Eye had a dream of making new artists able to record music at a low cost in high-end studios. Her family continues to operate it and fill it with new equipment. Sadly, on April 25th, 2002, while in Honduras organizing charity work, Left Eye was killed in a car crash. She swerved off the road to avoid hitting another vehicle and was thrown from her SUV. She was working on a documentary at the time, which was released as The Last Days of Left Eye and aired on VH1 in 2007. Her casket was engraved with the lyrics to her portion of Waterfall, stating, "Dreams are hopeless aspirations and hopes of coming true. Believe in yourself, the rest is up to me and you." Besides lending her bars and her singing skills to TLC, Left Eye was one of the creative voices behind the group. She received more co-writing credits, than the other members and designed their outfits and staging. She contributed to the group's image, album titles, artwork, and music video. Best known for her brash, uncompromising demeanor, she engineered TLC's brand of empowering womanhood that skyrocketed them to the top of the charts. So tonight, we salute and honor my girl, Left Eye. And with that, we got a fun topic to get into tonight. So I'm going to go ahead and kick it over to my girl, Tavy, because we're going to talk about dating while broke.
All right, everybody, good evening. So today our topic is dating while broke. So hopefully everyone has a glass of wine ready and ready to talk. So tonight we have LaToya, also Kiana. They're going to be on the panel tonight. We're just going to talk about this whole topic, dating while you're broke. So, icebreaker question, ladies. Y'all ready?
Mm-hmm.
We ready.
Look, money, sex, or potential?
Ooh, that's hard.
We'll go around the table. All right, Toya, what's up?
Hey.
Money, sex, or
money? You want a man with money, of course.
All right.
It's the truth. I'm pretty sure most do.
It's your truth. It's okay. All right, Shani, looks, money, sex, or potential?
I'm going to have to go with Toya on this. Yeah, LaToya. I'm going to go with the money. I can't date potential anymore.
All right.
Yeah. I think the older you get, you kind of...
Lady V.
Potential kind of goes out the window. Money, sex,
potential.
Right.
Can I say none of the above? Y'all already know. I'm like, can I just say none of the above? Because I need a genuine heart.
If Maya,
I mean, nope, you got to pick one. No, she got
to
pick one.
I have to pick potential.
Potential. Yes. All right. Maya?
That's so hard, Tavy.
Because
you know, I really would like to say the money, but then I would also like to say the potential, because if he got potential, then he got potential to make the money.
All right,
I like that.
What about you, Tavy?
So you said potential. I'm gonna go with potential as well. I felt the same way.
Okay, cool.
All right. And then Kiana.
I'm going with money, but I'm going with it from the point of stability.
Okay. All right, but
so
I
we got
you wanna...
three. Three for money.
I was going to say, I feel like this is going to tell us money, but I would have to say I still go with potential, only because money don't buy happiness. You can have all the money in the world and not be happy. So.
That's true.
All
right.
You raised a fact. That's a fact. That's a great point. All right. Well, I have another question. Just one more before we kick into it. Would you consider yourself a gold digger? All the money ladies, let me hear it.
No, absolutely not.
I'm sorry, who was that?
Toy.
All right, Toy, why would you not consider yourself a gold digger?
Because I have my own money. I don't need someone to take care of me, but I want him to be able to provide, as far as if we want to go buy a house, I want to be able to buy a house, not, you know, I want things that we can just, the big things. So, no, but I can do my own.
All right.
I would not consider myself a gold digger, but I've been called a gold digger, so I don't know. I'm like 50-50.
How you 50-50?
I'm just saying, like, some people may look at me as being a gold digger, and some people may look at me as like, hey, she about her money, you know? And I like to look at myself as being about my money, you know? If it don't make money, it don't make sense. So.
Hello.
All right. Maya?
Well, you know, I just say money. You know, I like to go with potential. I want him to be stable and be able to hold his own. And I know loyalty wasn't a part of the choices, but I want my man to be loyal.
If we could build
a man. Said she gonna build a man.
Oh, no, I'm not building. No,
yeah,
I'm not building nothing,
build
okay?
All right. So, both of us are gold diggers. Let's just go in here. But we did bring you on to talk about some of your previous dating experiences. We did speak with you the other day. You kind of enlightened us on the fact that you've dated some men across the world, some being wealthy, some needing money, and having potential. Can you just talk to us a little bit about that?
for you.
Could you repeat that, please?
Sure. We just want to know about your previous dating experiences.
Just with guys who haven't had money or with money. Early on, when I, you know, my younger years, I dated guys with money. They took care of me, you know, helped me get my credit straight, brought me cars. And it seemed like as I got older, they kind of like, you know what, that was when I was younger, and then actually I moved out of town. And then I moved back, and it was just like, people don't have money in the Midwest. They don't. The guys here are, they have basic jobs, you know, factory jobs. It's just hard finding a good man here in the Midwest to date with money.
Okay. But you saying that, what would it mean to be broke? So what is it? What would, you know, it mean to be broke to you? So what type of, like, tax brackets are we speaking of?
No savings. I guess under 20, I don't know. Ain't got no steady income. Like, you know, making steady good money. Like, and then good money.
So are we talking, like, $50,000 a year, $40,000, $30,000? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Say like because 50, because 50 is not a lot.
So if they made 50 or less, they're broke?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll probably say a little bit more than that, too.
50,000 broke?
Yeah, it is. Because if you make a 50,000 a year, you get a tax on that. So you're not even bringing that home.
What amount would not be broke?
Honey?
I'm
six
sorry?
Figures. She said
okay.
Six figures.
I was gonna say they got to. She's saying six figures, honey.
Hey,
close to it. Seriously, I mean, I've made 50 before, and I made a, 100 before, so I know the difference in, you know, paying my bills with that type of money. So you can't make it too much with 50,000, and it's getting taxed. It's hard.
Okay, well, thank you, Latoya. I'm under 100,000, so I'm broke.
No, you're not.
Wait. Women can never be broke, though. You know what I'm saying? Tape, you said
so we
it
just
yourself.
Need a man to take care of us.
That is a fact. I mean, hey.
That is a fact. Women can never be broke.
Because a man
going
to take care of us.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that just goes to the point where, you know, the saying, as long as you got a pie or a vajayjay, you can never be broke, right?
Oh, absolutely not.
That's gold down there. All right. So, Kiana, I know you're married. None of us are married, but what would you say to that?
To which part? That what?
I said, is that realistic? 100,000? If he doesn't make over 100,000, he's broke.
I mean, not for me. Because I mean, I've dated men who don't make 100,000 on paper, but they can get you know, our lifestyle says otherwise.
Yeah.
But that's on paper.
Right.
And so.
Okay. All right. So Toya, question for you: what is how about the table? So what if a guy you're dating starts out having money and he ends up broke while you're dating him?
I'm not going to dump. I'm going to still be with him, of course.
You got to see
the potential to know that he can get that type of money.
Okay, so what if he gets that type of money? Like you said, you had that type of money before. But
did he get in a car accident?
No.
Lost
his job.
He got a car accident and lost his job, right? Something detrimental, something really serious that happened in his life. Yeah,
no,
he's still going to be there for him.
At work and he got fired. He lost his job. Then what?
He's still going to be there for him. Stuff happens. Life. Life's so lucky, Rachel.
But right. I mean, I gotta interject. Like, why did he lose his job? Like, if he was messing off, like, that's a problem.
That becomes a problem. Absolutely.
Yeah, he not going to be consistent at his job. He ain't going to be consistent in his relationship. So that's a problem.
Yeah.
How long does he have to get it together if you're already dating?
This is true.
If he got it together? I mean,
no, how long does he have to get it together?
right away. You got a month, a couple months. I used to have a 60 day. When I started dating dudes, I had like a 60 day cutoff. Because I used to date guys with potential. If they did not have a shit together in 50 days, I was done with them. Well, 90 days.
You said 6 months the last time.
No. It's
3 months.
That's what I'm confused.
All right. Cool.
Yeah. Okay. It absolutely works. If in 3 months you would see what they were working with or what they were made of. It doesn't take long to figure out if a man's a hard worker or if he's not.
Have you ever read that Steve Harvey book? Because he talks about that 90-day rule. Like, hey, you see a man's true colors or whatever after the 90 days.
But do we ever leave in 90 days? Let's be real.
I actually did it. It worked. That's been 90 days. I didn't get no... That was working for me, but then I actually stopped doing it. And chaos. Mess.
Alright. So, well...
That 50 days worked. That's 90... Why keep saying 50 days? That 90 days definitely worked. I didn't even know Steve Harvey put that in his book. That was just something I made up.
Oh, yes, and
so did you tell them about this goal, or was this like your own, like,
I had moved back, and I'm like, I gotta come back because my date was out there. I was just partying, doing my thing. So I came back here, and I was like, okay, I gotta like have a plan. So I just said 90 days. The first dude, 90 days. And at the 90 days, I didn't, and of course, I didn't tell him. You know, you'll start seeing things like, okay, this man ain't got a job, or he lost his job. Like, I was with guys who lost their job, guys who had jobs, and they were going from one job to the next. It was just so, a lot of, their stability was up and down. So when that 90 days came around, and you'll let them know, like, a month before the 90 days, like, what you gonna do? And if they didn't come, if it didn't make sense, you gotta go. I literally, like, bye. It was that easy.
Question.
So in that case... Oh, I'm sorry, Tavy. I just had a quick question. So in that case, just piggybacking off of what you just said. So let's say you dealing with this dude and you see like, okay, he ain't got no money. This nigga's broke. Like when you decide like, okay, I'm going to cut him loose. How do you go about doing it?
I'll just say bye. And that's it. Yeah, because you already forewarning him, right? Oh, okay. I'm forewarning. There you go. That's what I'm doing. Like, give it a little hint.
Okay, so you forewarning them throughout you guys dating and you guys getting to know each
about
other?
About that last month.
Okay, so how are you throwing those hints out?
Probably not nice.
I mean, but at the end of the day, a guy knows when your energy changed anyway. Yes,
exactly.
Yep. So if her energy is changing...
We're probably not having sex anymore like we used to. So, all that.
You know,
you're going to mess around and pass up your husband.
Girl, no, you're not. No, I'm good.
She said she don't need no husband with potential.
Good. I ain't passed up. They still around and they ain't doing shit.
She said come up to the street.
Oh, man.
And Toya was, I appreciate you being like totally honest with your dating experiences and sharing them with us. But question, if you already set up with the 100,000 or more, whatever you make, I'm not sure, but you have all these standards, how do you even run into men that don't have jobs or you don't know, you haven't picked up on this?
I mean, look where I live in the Midwest, so Milwaukee, Midwest, this city. The guys here, that's why you run into guys with no potential. So look, it's where I live, my environment I live in.
So when you live in
Facebook,
cities.
You might run into them on Facebook and they act like they so good, they got all this going on, and then eventually the truth always comes out.
That's an easy one though. So that's on you, right? That's the first rule. You get to be whoever you want on Facebook. So you couldn't be Facebook. You already know what's up.
But you got a real life outside of Facebook. A person gonna figure you out.
But if I got you on my Facebook Live, I think the rest is easy, right?
No, not me.
I'll tell you my car in the shop, the one I put on my Facebook. I'm gonna tell you my money. My friend's holding it. That's the money I had, but that was really his money. I'm gonna tell you whatever you want to hear because you answer, you reply to my inbox.
That's how that goes.
That kind of stuff, though. You're not gonna go off somebody with that kind of stuff on it. I'm definitely not gonna go for somebody with that kind of stuff on their Facebook anyway. That's just not me.
So what kind of guys you go for on Facebook?
I mean, ones that at least have jobs.
How do you know they have a job on Facebook?
They say they got a job.
Oh, their profile? They work? It's about the bio?
No, you get the inbox them, messaging them, stuff like that.
Oh, okay. All right, well, moving on. This was a great question. We brought up Dutch dating. Let's go around the table with that one.
Okay.
But
what is Dutch dating? We gotta define that for people because your definition for Dutch dating is not everybody else's.
So Dutch dating for me, I guess I come from like an old school mom, is when you split a check. You know, because my mom and my dad, they're old school. They felt like, or my dad's case was, don't no man want to take you out and not get nothing in return. After so long, he going to be cashing in his check. So my mom will be like, Dutch date, you split the check. Because if you pay your half, can't nobody cash in a check on something that they ain't paid for. So I Dutch dated a lot because you ain't about to cash in no check to get into my JJ unless I want you to. Period.
Period.
Not even
Dutch or no?
Hell no. Sorry. Yeah, but no, absolutely not. If you can't afford it, you know what I'm saying, you don't need to be talking to me. Like, keep it moving. Like, if you can't take me to the places that I take myself or that I like to go, we don't have nothing to talk about. Like, period. Sorry. That's just me.
Maya, Dutch or Noah?
Listen, I'm going to go ahead and say Noah because I was raised old school. And I feel like, kind of spoiled me. When I was with him, I never touched my purse. Now, I think in the beginning, initially, because I know everybody is not like my ex. So, initially, I feel like moving forward in my dating life, I'm not going to say, we're not going to do the Dutch thing, okay? Because initially, you're supposed to be wooing me. You're supposed to be courting me. So, initially, no. We not doing the Dutch thing. Now, if we get into a relationship, we in a partnership or relationship, sometimes he gonna pay and sometimes I'm gonna pay. And that's how I think it works. Because if we're a partnership, if we're partners, we're partners, sometimes I'm gonna pay. I got it, baby. Sometimes he gonna pay. And we gonna do it like that. But initially, when you courting me and you wooing me, ain't no dirt. You pay me.
Aw, she's so sweet.
All right, Sylvia. Dutch or no? I already know the answer to that, huh?
I would say Dutch is he pays for it or I pay for it.
Right, so would you do it? Would you do the whole you pay your own tab?
No, someone just has to pay for it.
I agree.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna say you pay half. I pay half. That looks stupid. Seriously.
If I gotta pay,
y'all on the day.
But I mean, in Lady V's defense, like she's talking about just paying for her meal and he pay for his meal. So I understand that because you know when you go out with your friends, you do that sometimes.
Well, I'm gonna just go out with my friends.
Well, I guess for me, like, if he broke and he ain't got no money. If we get to a restaurant and all of a sudden he ain't got no money, okay, well, Ninja, I'm going to pay for me, and you going to sit here and you going to figure out how you going to pay for your hair.
What?
I'm saying, like, you going to wash the dishes.
You going to find out if you broke or not. Like, that's my way of finding out if you broke or not. If you ask me to go out, and if we offer, or if you said, if he don't even offer to pay, and I'm like, oh, well, we could just go Dutch. That's my way of finding out if you got money or not without asking. Because one, I'm not on Facebook like that to be like, oh, Facebook dating, I don't do that. Me and my ex-husband, we did it a lot until it came to a time where I reached for my purse and he snatched my purse and was like, I wish you would try to pay for something one more time. And that was literally like the second date. because he just felt like, I'm a man, I can pay for you, don't do me. Like, don't ever touch your purse unless you want to take me out and spoil me.
Well, I've been on a date. I've been on a date, and I went on this first date with this guy. This guy, I liked this dude. I thought he was cute. I had a crush on him. And when we exchanged numbers and got to talking and went out on a date, we went out to eat. We had a good time, had a good conversation. That his ex, you know, was a white girl, and they used to do this and they used to do that kind of thing. And then when it was time for the bill to come, he was like splitting it up and, okay, you had this, you had this, and didn't have enough money to pay his bill, okay?
Oh.
So I ended up paying for it. I paid the bill, but guess what? We never went out again.
I wouldn't. No.
Never again.
Yeah,
but he's one of those ones that'll be on Facebook fronting like he got it, and he don't.
The dudes with the pictures with the money
and the belt. They try to show their belts, honey. Them Gucci belts.
Well, we gotta stop being so thinking that that naive to pictures on Facebook. That's what it is.
Well, no, it wasn't that I was thinking that he had money because of the pictures. All I'm saying is that's an observation. You're acting online like you got it, like you having it, and you really don't.
Well, I think somebody said something. Somebody said something about money and how you know a dude got money. And I don't look at a dude because, like, some of the richest dudes that I've dealt with, like, they basic. They don't do the Gucci belts. They don't drive the fancy cars. You know what I'm saying? It has like that. They may drive fancy cars, but they not putting rims on it. They not doing a whole bunch of stuff to it. Yeah. So, I mean, it's like, money to me looks different to what money looks like to other people, though. But I get what you're saying, Maya. That's true. Like, the dudes who act like they got money with the belts.
Them
and,
the
you know
ones
what I'm
that don't have it.
Nothing. Nothing in the bank. They ain't even got bank accounts.
And I agree completely what you're saying. My ex, he had money. He did have a couple fancy cars, but then he had a basic car that he drove every day. He only brought the fancy car out when he was going somewhere or doing something special. Other than that, as far as his clothes was concerned, it was real basic. No logos. None of that. As long as he was nice and presentable, that's what he was on. It wasn't about labels at all or trying to show off or be flashy, because the people that really got the money is the ones that's not flashy.
Right. That's a fact. So
I just want to say this. I want to say this one thing. With Dutch, I'm just not paying none of that. I ain't paying no tip. I ain't paying nothing. You take me out or whatever, you paying for everything. And I want something nice. And I'm going to shut up on that one.
All right. So I do have a question. So being that we all stated that we're not with the whole Dutch thing, right? Well, everybody but Veronica. How often, at what point do you cook for the man, or do you show your appreciation for all the dates that you have been on? At what point
do you? We ain't you, though. We don't cook them gourmet meals and stuff like that or whatever. Nah, I ain't you. It depends. Like, I'm not finna be a wife for a dude, you know what I'm saying? Unless
wife, and he's spending his money, that's not being a husband. Why does that have to mean? Why does that equate?
No, that's courting, though. That's courting. Like, you taking me. You want me. I didn't say I want you. You know what I'm saying? So if you want me, you're gonna have to work to, you know what I'm saying, woo me. You're gonna have to work to get me.
Okay,
like,
so
I just
he wooed you. At what point do you show your appreciation? Do you give back? At what point?
When we committed. Like, if he's my man and we committed and we're working towards relationship and the final goal or the destination is marriage, like, I'm all in. I'm a good wife. I'm a good woman. I want
nothing
wife.
Until y'all engage.
No, I didn't say that. I said when you dating, you're not committed. Like, there's different levels of dating. Like, if you're dating and you're committed, go ahead.
Together, then you. Huh? When you guys establish that you're in a relationship, then you can do
we're
something.
Monogamous, yes. Yes. When we establish that we're monogamous, then yes, I will flex. I will probably pay for a meal or two. I'll probably do something. You know what I'm saying? I won't do much because I'm stingy, but you know what I'm saying? That's just me. I am. I'm stingy. I like my money. We spend yours. I'm sorry.
Let me ask this question. Do y'all want me to speak in terms of my marriage, or do y'all want me to speak in terms of, I mean, you know, like, because I can speak to my past, and then I can speak to my marriage.
Well, we want you to speak to both.
Yeah,
we want you to speak to both.
Okay, so in the past, as far as going Dutch, majority of the time, I never went Dutch. The guy paid all that, you know. Majority of the time, I would always be the one to tip, but that's because I also work in the service industry, so I do understand.
Right.
You know, I understand what a tip means to some people.
Yep. Yep.
So, but in dating my husband, it was different. We never went Dutch. I will say that we never went Dutch. Like, you pay for yourself, I pay for me. But there were times that I paid for the date and that he paid for the date and when we were dating. But I've also never been really one to date. How could I put this? I always dated from the beginning really exclusively. Like, I didn't put all my eggs in that basket, so to speak. Like, I would get numbers and things, but if I was dating you, then that's who I was focused on. But if I wasn't dating anybody,
So at what point does anybody ever feel like they're obligated to have sex if the guy picks up his tab all the time?
No, absolutely not.
Hell
no. Relationships
should
be more than sex.
Who said hell no, though? You got to explain.
No, ma'am.
Saying
hell no.
No, ma'am.
We'll be leaving full and hungry fucking with me. No, ma'am.
I know that's right.
But I mean, also, I was always the type that if we had sex, it's because I wanted to. If that makes any difference, like if a guy tried and I really wasn't feeling him, I wasn't doing it. But if
right.
he tried and I was feeling him, then I was doing it.
It might go down.
It's going down.
With that being said, first day, real quick. First date, and he asks you where you like to name a place. Toya.
Broke up there. What you say, Tavy?
So it's the first date, and he asks you where you like to eat. Name the place.
Sushi. Sushi restaurant. If he likes sushi. I'm basic. That's basic food. I think.
I want something expensive. I'm for real. Daddy. I want to see if he broke. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just me, but I've had broke dudes take me to nice restaurants, so that's not really, you know what I'm saying, like the gauge, you know, of like, hey, if they broke or not. But if they say something like, hey, let's go to, I don't want to say that because some people like that. If they say something like, what is that, the Golden Corral? I think.
Golden
somebody,
Corral.
Hold up. Where are everybody going?
Wait. No, somebody, I never knew what it was. I swear to God, I didn't know what the fucking, I didn't know what the Golden Corral was. And like when somebody told me about it, I was like, oh, really? For real? Let's go. I've never been. And when I got there, I was just like, oh, hell no. Nah.
You would
uh-uh.
Cheese. Okay.
Huh?
What
you say?
I say you would have did better at Chuck E. Cheese.
Girl, I like Chuck E. Cheese with my daughter, but I wouldn't go on there, I mean, go to Chuck E. Cheese on a date with, like, some random guy that I just met, you know, but, we actually went on a couple of other dates. This was, like, the third or fourth date, and he introduced me to the Golden Corral, and, yeah, it was a horrible experience. I was disgusted, so I like to pick the places.
But if that's something he likes to eat, that's cool, right?
Yeah, it's cool for him, but shoot, you got to take me to get something to eat afterwards because I'm not eating there. Like, that's just me. I'll go, but I'm not, yeah, I'm not eating there.
I don't.
I mean, now that I know that it is.
I'm not a buffet. No, I'm not doing a buffet.
But did you guys at least have a good conversation?
Actually, we're together for 5 years, you know, got engaged and everything. So, yeah. Yeah, that brother took me to the Golden Corral. But it was, like, after the third or fourth date. It wasn't the first. You know what I'm saying? And my sister, she knew what it was. And she was like, what the hell he taking you there for? And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, it's someplace I've never been. And she tried to warn me, but I didn't listen. So, yeah, I went to the Golden Corral. What'd you say?
And it worked out. You got married. That was nice.
Be quiet. All right, next question.
Maya, first date, where you going?
Well, you know what? First date, where we going? I don't like to choose. I want to let him choose because I want to see where his head is at. And I like to eat good food. And a lot of times, you know, expensive restaurants are nice, and a lot of them have really good food, but a lot of the expensive restaurants don't have good food. So when a guy asks me out on a date, first date, I want to let him plan it because I want to see where his head is at.
That's sweet.
And then I go from there.
That's sweet. Veronica?
But if he asks you to go to the Golden Corral, you going?
I'm going.
Wait, I want to know, Maya, you going?
No. I'm not going to the Golden Corral. So if he say, hey, baby, you know, I'm going to come pick you up on Tuesday and we going to the Golden Corral, I'm going to be like, oh, no, I'm sorry, baby. I'm not going to do the Golden Corral. I don't want to do buffet. I have gone on a date but I went with my man to the Golden Corral. We went for breakfast, and that was good. But not on no first date.
Yeah, we was in a relationship, and, yeah, that was horrible. That was, a horrible experience. But I'm going to be quiet on that one. It was bad.
All right, so we got 4 minutes before we go to commercial. Kiana, first date, where you going?
I'm going someplace in Milwaukee that ain't nobody really going to see us.
Oh, so you want to get sucked off, huh?
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
Why?
Because you got to hide. Because people in Milwaukee talk too much, so... Like, if you, like, the first date, you go on the first date, you trying to get to know that person. And then if I'm constantly seeing people that I know or he knows, he like, oh, hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? And then you fuck around, like, and he tell you, like, oh, I used to fuck with her. And you like, yeah, her, fam? You know what I mean? Like, that's the whole...
Y'all not able to really get to know each other because y'all constantly stopping and speaking to people.
Right, but then also... What if the dude walk up and you know y'all had dealings before and he like, what's up, my man? Da, da, da. You like, oh fuck, I was kind of feeling this dude, but I fucked with dude before. You know what
True.
I'm like? Nah.
True.
We not doing nothing talky until we kind of like third or fourth date. That's when we gonna start kind of like doing stuff in the city.
I kind of like this thing. I like that.
Veronica,
So me, I'm not like a big, like, going out person. So for me, it's like more of an adventure. It's just like, you got to surprise me with something, but I want to do something adventurous. It ain't going to be about food. I want to go skydiving or something crazy. Like, that's what I'm going to do on the first date. Cause I want to see how adventurous you're going to get with me. And 9 times out of 10, that's when they find out if I'm crazy or not.
But how y'all going to get to know each other, B, if y'all jumping off cliffs?
We can, because so one day one of my eyes took me to a gun range. Granted, it's loud in the gun range, but it's just like we did get to talk, like on the way to the gun range, at the gun range, you not pointing this right, okay, just kick back, gonna slap you in the face if you don't hold this right. Like, we did talk. I don't like going out today only for out to eat like that, only because one, I'm a picky eater, so to ask me what I'm gonna eat, I'll be super general, just be like seafood. And you could name every seafood place in the world, and I'm probably say no to half of them, except for like maybe like Papa Do's or something. So
it's just hard. Like, my ex-husband used to be like, I hate having to feed you. Like, you just never know what you want to eat.
All right.
Yeah, I do have a question, but if you guys are listening and you want to call in and ask our guests a question or ask the panel, make sure you give us a call at 215-490-9832. But before we go to break, LaToya, like, you ain't answered a question yet. Like, you gotta respond.
Okay, as far as where I would like a guy to take me, I'm simple. I mean, we can go for appetizers, drinks. Because, I mean, you might not even like that guy. You might meet a guy. You're not even, because sometimes I go to, I might meet a guy on a dating site, and you get there, he's not, the picture might say this, and it might be something else. He might look different. So I like to get to a place where we can, it's something not too expensive, but something that I like. The environment's good. And go from there, basically. I mean, if you don't like the guy, you can end the situation quickly, and it ain't too, he's not spending too much money, or you're not spending too much money. I don't know, because, I mean, sometimes I've been in first date, and I have to pay, or, you know, because people don't, they act like they got something, and then they don't, you know?
I'm sorry, you said it's the first date, and you might have to pay? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah, I've done that before. Because they front. They act like they got it, and they don't. Who gonna pay for it? Somebody got to pay for it, right?
Right.
I ain't gonna date you no more.
Okay, that's understandable.
I just take simple. I like to take it simple. Like if I a first date, it could be simple. I mean, if he wants to go do something bigger, that's on him. And but if I make the decision, I'm gonna go sushi or appetizer, something like that. Drinks.
Okay. That's cool. That's cool. And I've heard that. I know that there's like a dating website or something. It is built around, you know what I'm saying, something simple with a like a meetup. I've heard about it. I haven't
been,
like
but
yeah, but still, it's like a free meal. But I'm just kidding. Dr. Rogers.
Don't get me wrong. I've been on first dates with expensive meals, but that was the guy planned it. You know, if I'm going to make a decision, I'm just going to say something simple.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
If he plans it, I mean, I'm going to go wherever you want to go.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to go to the break. It's the top of the hour, and we're going to go to the audience once we come back. So you guys keep on listening. If you are listening to us on the on our radio show, our live radio show, you can call in at 215-490-9832 if you have any questions or questions for our guests or our panelists. I mean, our guests or our panelists. Thanks. Dr. Rogers, take it away.
She takes my money when I'm in need. Yes, she's a trifling friend indeed. Oh, she's a gold digger. Way over town. That digs on me. She killed me, mom.
Now, I ain't saying she a gold digger. But she ain't messing with no broke. Now, I ain't saying she a gold digger. But she ain't messing with no broke. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Baby knew it's for time. Under her underarm, she said, I could tell you rock. I could tell by your charm. Fars, girls, you got a flock. I could tell by your charm and your arm. But I'm looking for the one. Have you seen her? My psychic told me she have a like Serena, Trina, Gina for Lopez. 4 kids, and I gotta take all they back to show biz. Okay, get your kids. But then they got their friends. I pulled up in the Benz. They all got a pin. We all went to den. And then I had to pay. If you f***ing with this girl, then you better be paid. You know why? Take too much to touch her. From what I heard, she got a baby by Buster. My best friend said she used to f*** with Usher. I don't care what none of y'all say, I still love her. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. She got drive off in a Hyundai. She was supposed to buy your shorty Tyco with your money. She went to the doctor, got lipo with your money. She walk around looking like Michael with your money. Should've got that insured Geico for your money. Money. If you ain't no punk, holla, we want prenup. We want prenup. Yeah. It's something that you need to have. Cause when she leave your, she gon' leave with half. 18 years, 18 years, and on her 18th birthday, found out it wasn't his. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke, now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke, get down, girl, gon' head, get down, get down, girl, gon' head, get down. You don't want a dude to smoke, but he can't buy. You go out to eat, he can't pay, y'all can't leave. His dishes in the back, you gotta roll up your sleeves. But while y'all washing, watch him. He gon' make it through with beans out of that toxin. He got that ambition, baby. Look at his eyes. This week he mopping floors, next week is the fries. So stick by his side. I know his dude's ballin', and yeah, that's nice. And they gon' keep calling and trying, but you stay right, girl. And when he get on, he leave your for a white girl. Get down, girl, gon' head, get down. Get down, girl, gon' head, get down. Get down, girl, gon' head, get down. Get down, girl, gon' head. Let me hear that back.
You are listening to Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Hotep, brothers and sisters, and we are back at the top of the hour with the women of After Seven. Very dynamic conversation that they are engaged in. This is our millennial edition to the Black Reality Think Tank. This is an opportunity to hear from the generation that will follow the baby boomers on how to restructure and develop the black family. We are so happy that you are with us and they are able to listen and give input to their ideas as they see the world. You are part of the TimePointAwakening.com radio network, which is a part of the Black Talk Radio Network. And they are here every Thursday from 6 to 8 Central, 7 to 9 Eastern Time. I want to tell you about a few other programs that are on, as well as other members of the Black Reality Think Tank family, too, as well. On Mondays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, there's a program that airs called African Perspectives. African Perspectives. And it's hosted by Brother Oshiemi Adelabu. That's every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And then on Mondays from 6 p.m. to 8 Eastern Time, program called Acres of Diamonds. Acres of Diamonds, and the host is Brother Jihad Ahmed. Brother Jihad Ahmed. That's from 6 to 8 on Monday evenings, Acres of Diamonds. And then from 8 to 9 on Monday evenings, Eastern Time, Black Therapy Central. Black Therapy Central. And that program is hosted by Dr. Mawaya Cambone and Sister Nataki Cambone. Very dynamic program as well. That's every Monday evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And then from 9 to 10 on the first and third Mondays of the month, on the first and third Mondays of every month from 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, we have conversations around reparations, conversations around the idea of reparations. And then on Tuesday, we have the Black Reality Think Tank, hosted by myself, that airs from 8 to 10 Eastern Time, 7 to 9 Central, Black Reality Think Tank. And then, as you know, Thursday is our After 7 program, as we hear, as you're listening to tonight. And then on Fridays, from 8 to 10 Eastern Time, there's a program that is hosted by the managing partners of the Time Point Awakening System. And the name of their program is Time for an Awakening. And that airs on Fridays from 8 to 10. Every Friday from 8 to 10 Eastern Time, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then on Saturday, from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 to 5 p.m. is Black Sister Talk, which is our weekend edition of the Black Reality Think Tank. And that program is hosted by Ms. LaWanda Chambers every Saturday evening from 3 to 5 and 4 to 6 Eastern Time, Black Sister Talk. And then following that, from 7 to 9 Eastern, 6 to 8 Central Time, we have the Elders of Sankofa with Brother Alfonso Watkins every Saturday from 6 to 8, 7 to 9 Eastern, the Elders of Sankofa. And then on Sundays, from 7 to 9 Eastern, 6 to 8 Central, we have Time for an Awakening. It is, again, Brother Richard and Brother Elliot, who are hosting that program, dynamic guests, interviews with some of the powerhouses of Black America. And then coming in August, we have the program that's going to be airing. We're not sure the date yet, but it's the Black Farmers Program. So be on the lookout for that. And let's talk about the Black farmers. They're the ones that are going to provide the food and feed and understanding their struggles and their plight for our communities. This is going to be a method that we're all going to have to go to. We're going to have to start growing our own food. And we did that in antiquity, in our history. We've done that. And we're going to have to return to that now. So this is the lineup of the Black Reality Think Tank and the Time for an Awakening system. Again, it is part of the www.timeforanawakening.com. You can go there, and all of our programs are archived. You can go to the podcast, to the website, and pull down the podcast button and go to any of the programs, and you will be able to hear anything that has broadcast in the past. Again, that is www.timeforanawakening.com. And we appreciate all of you for your support of our programs throughout this network, and also your support for this Black Reality Think Tank program that's airing today. And so with that, I am going to turn it back over to these wonderful group of young ladies who call themselves After Seven. All right, ladies, it's all yours.
All right, thank you so much, Dr. Robbins. But before you go, could you bless us with a historical viewpoint?
Okay, I thought you were going to tell me, bless you with a prayer or something.
You do that off top.
Okay, all right. This is really interesting conversation, and I just want to kind of, you know, for our audience, put this in perspective in terms of where this fits in. You're talking about the future of the family, the Black family. And that future is right now in the hands of these young women and those that are listening at this generation. And in traditional Africa, the family was always the most significant institution that there was. And one of the things that has to be understood about the development of the Black family historically and even in the immediate past is that the Black woman was the center of that. Most African society was matriarchal in many ways, and the mother and the woman was that that thought process of holding the family together. Very powerful book written by a brother named Dr. Chinua Achebe, wrote a book called Things Fall Apart. It's an excellent example. If you haven't read that, I would suggest that those of you take a look, and he kind of does a fictional piece of what the Black family was like prior to slavery. And then obviously the institution of the transatlantic slave trade disrupted the Black family life. But if we're going to get back to any resemblance of the traditional Black family life, it is going to have to be the woman, the mother, the one that brings life to the planet, is going to have to be the one to structure that. And so some of the things that you all are talking about now in terms of these relationships, you're going to have to put the brothers in check. That's, you know, they come from you. They come out of your womb. And it's going to be your responsibility, even in the process of dating and even in the process of community values, they are going to have to understand from you how things will proceed. Because there's been a serious disruption of our life. You know that. the introduction of alcohol and drugs and all kinds of different things to disrupt the way we operate with each other. So right now, there's a real schism between black males and black females in our community. We can't get along. There's stuff. There's high rates of divorce, high rates of domestic violence, you know, high rates of teen pregnancy, and all of these different things. And as some of that, I mean, it's not totally all by you. The men got to do things, too. They've got to come to the table as well and deal. But a lot of that is going to have to start with you, because you're the ones that bring them to the planet. I've often said this to my own daughters and my granddaughters. I say, you got that child 9 months before the world ever sees them. You got them for 9 months. You know, so you, in that 9 month period, you got to teach in that womb. You got to teach in that womb. So my historical perspective on what you're talking about in these relationships, you're doing it right, because you are the ones that are going to have to straighten this out. And if brothers are going to deal and interact with you and look at the possibility of building future families, you're going to have to set the tone for that. Most women, when I was coming up in my teenage years and I was dating, I had to face the mama first. I mean, I got the daddy too, but the mama had to check me, make sure I was who I was, and, you know, and lay down the rules and regulation for dating their daughters. So with that, that's my perspective. Continue. It's a dynamic conversation, and I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say.
Thank you so much. So, Kiana, I know you're married, but we got a few questions for you, too. So, okay. Where was the first date?
MJG and 8-Ball concert.
Okay. Who paid for the ticket?
I always get, like, tickets. Like free tickets to events, mm-hmm. And I got free tickets at the last minute. So I just called him up, like, you want to go with me? I got tickets. I didn't have nobody else to go with. None of my friends was into MJG and A-Ball, so I was like, you want to go with me? And he was like, yeah, I'll go. But then my brother tagged along with us, so it was kind of like, really wasn't a date. But I had already knew him prior to, so it wasn't like, you know. I had to get to know him, dating him, but not really like as it's complicated. But yeah, that's
it. So that's okay. So let me backtrack. Let's go over. Can you give us like a little detail as to when you guys first met, how that interaction went, and your financial status is somewhat a little brief.
Okay, so when we first met, it was summer of 2015. My brother has a habit of just popping up at my house with his friends. So he called and was like, are you home? I'm like, yeah. And he stopped by and he had my now husband with him. And I was getting dressed to leave. And I was like, well, you know, I don't know this dude, so I don't want him in my house while I'm getting dressed, you know, like whatever. So I told my brother had asked me I cooked. And I was like, no, but I could put you a pizza on. I'm leaving. So he get here, whatever. My son at the time was one on two. So I told my brother, I'm like, take my son outside and play with him while I'm getting dressed. No big deal, you know. So the guy ended up playing with my son, and I'm like, well, that's kind of cute, you know. Like, who would, like, what grown ass man, you know, want to interact with a 1 year old? Kind of, you know. And he's cute. He's a nice looking guy. So, you know, I kind of, you know, whatever. But come to find out, he actually inquired about me to my brother when we left. You know, he was like, that's your, you know, who is that? And he was like, oh, that's my sister. So he was like, oh, okay. You know, kind of kept it cool. And then throughout the time, he kept trying to, like, he would see me out and he would talk to me. And I really wasn't feeling him because I really wasn't over my son's father at the time. So it was kind of like, you know, okay, hey, how you doing? But I'm really not feeling you and I'm not really ready to do anything. You know. And it kind of just, we just see each other all the time, but we have a lot of mutual friends, so we would always see each other, and he would inquire to my friends about me, like, you know, what's up with your girl, kind of thing. And like, right. Man, she different.
So status, like, so was both of y'all having money? How was that?
I didn't know anything about his financial status in the beginning. When I met him, my financial status was great. Like, so my business was doing well. I was working full time. my financial status was like excellent. My credit score was like a 7-something. I was doing good. And then when I started dating him, there was a situation at my business, and it took my business for a turn for the worse. So I was using my income to pay to support my business. So I was really strapped for money. And when I started dating him, you know, we would talk on the phone, and he was like, you know, just come over and watch the game with me or whatever. You know, so I would just go by his house and watch the game with him. And then through time, it was kind of like, you know, you want to do this? And, you know, he was like, well, I really don't have it to do this, but can we do this?
Right.
And then I'm like, well, shit, why you ain't got it? You know, like, eventually I was like, well, shit, why you ain't got it? And he was like, you know, I work for the school, so in the summertime, you know, what I have left is just enough to take care of my essentials that I need to take care of. But once school pick back up, you know, once school go back, I'm straight again.
Right.
And that was understandable, because it wasn't like he didn't have a damn job. You know, he had hustles. He had, you know, little... He had money that was no paper.
Right. Could you say that you respected him more for letting you know his financial status at that time versus pretending he had it?
Yep. Everything about him was honest. Like, it was nothing that I could catch him in a lie about. Everything about him was honest.
Right.
So when you know you like try to go back and do your own research on somebody, you'd be like, God damn it, this nigga really is telling the truth.
Right.
That's how it was.
All right. So, have you two, you know, in between that time, did money ever become a factor where you felt like, hey, you know what, we need to separate and figure this out? Like, we both going through something right now, and we probably need to take a break. Or did you just continue dating?
We continue dating. So, like, okay, so two stories that I have about it is one time, I wanted to go to Indianapolis for the Black Expo because Frankie Beverly was performing, and I love Frankie Beverly. And I told him, like, I want to go. And he was like, okay, well, all I have is this amount. And I'm like, all right, well, cool. All I got is this amount. We, you know, put it together. I think we was, like, maybe dating for, like, 2 or 3 months at this point. Put our money together. We was like, put our money together, and we'll just make it happen when we get there. Get there. You know, hotel situation was a little fugazi, but we ended up coming up on that. then we end up, it was fugazi as fuck. But we came up on the hotel, on a good hotel at that. Like, we came up. And then we end up like going kicking in, and we end up catching like 3 concerts for free on a humbug. We like, well, shit, this, you know, this player, you know? So we got something, went to the bar, got something to eat, saw Frankie Beverly, and then Kid Capri has an all white party. So we was going to the all white party, but I'm like, I really don't want to pay $40 a person. We only gonna be here for like 2 hours because we had to get back on the highway early in the morning. I'm like, we ain't gonna be able to really enjoy it, so it really ain't worth it, you know, at this point. We end up seeing some people from Milwaukee, and they was like, well, here, y'all can have our ticket. So we snuck in with their ticket, had a ball at this party like, oh, man. When I say we party. Then we, you know, go back to our hotels, get up, get dressed, come back. But we end up coming back with a lot more money than what we expected to come back with. We did everything for real on the budget. And I'm like, well, this is pretty cool, you know. He know how to budget well. He know how to enjoy, you know, life on the budget. This is straight. So then it came time. I had a really, like, a huge bill due, and I was stressed out about it. And I, you know, of course, I'm talking to him. No, I never did talk to him about this bill because I knew, I'm like, well, shit, if he already told me his money is, you know, tight during this time, why would I ask him for this money?
Right.
And I didn't know how I was going to come up with this money. I didn't know. When I say I was just, like, completely stressed out, so I went to his house, and I never went to sleep. I cried myself to sleep that night, and he was just, like, praying. Like, when I tell you, like, praying, like, I felt God enter my soul that night through him. Mm-hmm. Like, I have a relationship with God, but it wasn't anything like that, put it like that. So I'm like, you know, I woke up the next morning, I'm like, well, you know, we talked about it, and he was like, you know, I really didn't have much to offer you, but all I had was a prayer. And when I tell you, everything from my life at that point in time turned around. Everything. My whole outlook on life, my financial situation, my outlook on relationships, my outlook on respect for men, everything about my life changed that night.
That's so sweet.
So, it was like different. You know, I'm like, well, if he ain't got nothing else but prayer, prayer changes things. So, yeah, we ain't seen a broke day since. We've seen some days where we didn't have everything we wanted, but we had everything we needed.
Right. When you so just dating and, you know, you going through those situations, and this is my final question. Were you ever propositioned by another man who had money?
And oh, yeah, all the time.
Going through things, how did you handle that?
I mean, I would just ask at that point, you know, can you pray for me? And they didn't understand what that meant. And so that was, it was easy for me to be like, no, you can't, you know.
Right, no, that's right. All right. All right, well, Kiki, I definitely, or Kiana, I'm sorry. I definitely appreciate you giving us your views, perspectives on dating while broke, and also letting us hear some real from your actual marriage and your dating experience prior to marriage. We really appreciate that so much. Shawnee's going to allow us to open up the floor to some questions from the audience. Right, Shawnee?
Yes. Yes. All right. So we're going to get this popping because I know our audience has been text messaging us, hitting us up in Facebook, and they really want to speak on this topic. So I'm going to go to the wireless caller from Milwaukee. Wireless caller from Milwaukee, you are live and on the show. And I know this sister personally, so I'm kind of curious to what she has to say. Go ahead, sister. You on live.
Hello, ladies.
Hi.
Hey. Okay. I wrote down some of the stuff that I wanted to say.
Lord.
I feel like a man who cannot earn a woman doesn't deserve one. You have so many men with potential, but they don't use it. So it's like you don't really have it, you know? And only in America, women are called gold diggers. There are men who have given cheap, have
Hello?
Given, yes.
Hey, how you doing? This is Ben.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, girl.
Oh, I'm like, what was that? Okay, there are men who's giving money or whatnot to marry a young lady who's... Can you hear me?
Yeah, you good. Keep on.
Oh, I'm hearing some. Okay, there are men who's giving money to marry a young lady who's a virgin, whatnot, just to live happily ever after. So only in America we're told that, oh... You're a gold digger if you want a man that has some type of wealth. Moving forward, I think it's necessary to question ourselves as women because, like, what you project is what you're going to get. Like, not saying, like, oh, we are destined to be with a bum. No, but, like, you can't go to a local pub and think that you're going to come up because guess what? The working man or the business owner is not there. Moving forward, okay, what else can I say? Yeah. All I can say is, what can we change, like, today for ourselves to do better? Like I tell my daughter, if you don't want to end up with a local bum, then you got to get outside of your environment if you feel like everything around you doesn't match your energy. That's it.
Okay. Thank you so much for your feedback. Did anybody want to respond to that? Because we got a lot of callers that want to say something.
Keep it going.
Keep it going. All right. Everybody
yes.
else, keep it going. Okay. So we're going to go to the Atlanta caller on the line, exchange ending in 9199. Atlanta, you are live and on the air.
Hey, what's going on? How y'all doing?
Hello.
We got Can a brother on here. Oh, man. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. What's going on?
How y'all doing? Nothing much. Just checking out the show. I'm originally from Milwaukee. I got a question, and it kind of goes into something. It's the topic is dating while black, right?
Broke.
So
while broke.
Yeah. Dating while broke. So
broke.
So are y'all trying to be happy, or are y'all just trying to have a good time? Like when you ask that question, dating while broke, like.
I want to be happy.
Hello?
Yeah, I want to be happy.
Okay, you want to be happy. So before we look into each other's finances, and this is not a knock to women or a knock to guys, wouldn't you want to get to know that person regardless what their financial background is? because
I think we
especially
can be friends.
I know
I'm going to be okay. real with you. We can be friends because Steve Harvey even talks about it or whatever. If a man is not ready, you know what I'm saying, like with his finances and stuff, he should not be taking on a woman. Like there are certain things that a man should have in order to take on a woman. And that's just my opinion. I'm one person. But, you know, there's a plethora of people on this panel. And then there's also a sister that's on here on the panel, a guest speaker who actually has a successful marriage, you know, and her husband wasn't financially stable when they met. So that's, for me, it wouldn't work.
Right. So, I mean, just looking, let's take Milwaukee, for instance. Like, 50% of the working age men are unemployed. And then almost 50% of them are in jail. So how are you going to have good pickings? And then, as far as financially, as what you call financially stable. And then, like, the medium income in Milwaukee is like $24,000. So how many people are really honestly making the $100,000, the $200,000 that y'all speak of in Milwaukee that's black?
I didn't
or even
that.
Actually, let's say the Midwest.
That was
I was going to say, let her answer the question because she said it.
So the way I see it, being in Milwaukee, and the way I see it just from Milwaukee in general, if you can live in Milwaukee, you can live anywhere. For the simple fact, Milwaukee is a city of known hustlers. Just because a person don't make $100,000 or $200,000 on paper don't mean they don't know how to make $100,000 or $200,000 doing something else. So you, and I'm not talking drugs or, you know, anything, you know, quote unquote illegal. I'm just saying just doing other things. Maybe he cut hair on the side. Maybe he make beats on the side. Whatever it is, Milwaukee is known for breeding hustlers. So, again, you can all day long, you can say he don't make $200,000, he ain't a good man. No, he got potential to make $200,000, but you ain't gonna see it on paper. How about that? You gonna see it, he gonna make it happen.
Right.
I kind of agree with you on that or whatever. Like, I can't date potential, but I can date a hustler. You know what I'm saying? Like, if a guy has a plan or whatever, I'm cool with that, but I can't date potential. The potential or whatever for being a good hustler or being something or whatever, potential on me don't work out no more. That's
hey,
just
so
for me.
I got a question for you guys with that. Well, I can say Toya. So, Toya, say you meet someone that has money, but he doesn't feel like you're worthy of being with him because you don't know how to act with the small things. How do you take that? Because he has to. Okay. To what you say that he has to.
So you said so. I find someone with money.
Right. You meet a man who has money. He's dating you, and he kind of doesn't even feel like you're worth it because you don't know how to take the small things. Because you say he has to have $100,000. He has to make $100,000.
That's a tough question. But
yeah,
I see where you're going with that, Tavy. But I personally, and I'm sorry to answer this question for you, I personally wouldn't waste my time with somebody who doesn't think I'm
worthy.
I'm saying y'all dating them and y'all not trying to give up anything. It's like, not sex-wise, but hey, you got to show me everything. I'm not going to show you anything because you need to be courting me. You need to be doing this for me. You need to show me. The beginning, I asked what you guys are going to show. Nobody could deliver that piece. So I'm just speaking to that point. For me and
it depends. It's different type of dudes, though. It's different type of men. It's men out here or whatever that they're just good guys. You know what I'm saying? They don't want anything in return. They just want to show you who they are. They just want to, you know what I'm saying, woo a woman that they're interested in. It's good guys out here. Every dude ain't out here trying to get something from a woman in return. And I know... B, you said your daddy told you this, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know if that's true for me. That's not true for me, I don't believe.
Those good guys out here have to make a certain amount of money for you even to give them the time of day.
Right.
So I didn't give a tax bracket and I didn't give a number. That's not me. You know what I'm saying? But I'm... Go ahead.
Yeah, I was talking to Toya. You interjected it.
My bad. Go ahead, Toya.
So let us know what's
up. I thought that was Toya.
Say that again.
No, that wasn't Toya. That was Shawnee. Toya, what do you do once the man has shown you all these things? What are you showing him?
That you're a good woman. I mean, what you can, you know, bring to the table. You got to be able to bring something to the table as far as cooking, cleaning the house, being able to, you know, if y'all have kids together, you're going to take care of your kids correctly. Just, you got to be a good woman, a good, wholesome woman. That's pretty much what it is. A man wants, that's what he wants. A good man wants a good woman, you know. And if he doesn't see that, you're not going to get far with him.
I guess that was my point from the beginning. How is one to see, because you guys state you have to make so much. They got this money. How is he going to see any of that? What are you showing?
I think we should go to a man for this question. And I think that, you know, only a man can tell us or whatever what they see and what, you know what I'm saying, they expect. So I know a brother personally, St. Louis, you are on the line. And I know you personally, so I know you're a good dude, and you're not one of those dudes who expect something from a woman. So what do you have to say about the topic? We're talking about dating while being broke, and we're talking about a woman bringing something to the table. So what do you look for in a woman, and why do you put so much effort in showing a woman that you appreciate her versus getting anything back in return?
And we're not talking about sex. We're talking about not talking about
it. Yeah, it's okay. First of all, thanks for having me on. I wanted to say thank you for having me on, first of all. When I first met you, I was on a journey pretty much, and I'm still on this journey.
Okay,
and my journey
is personal. We're gonna make it general.
But what I'm gonna say is, you have some guys, you know, that they just want that wham bam, you know, in and out. And you have some guys that want to build, they want to build a relationship from the mind, you know, first, instead of just the body. You know, it's like you can easily find someone to lay with, first of all, you know, but someone that you can meet and that you would want to probably spend the rest of your life with, or get to know them even further, you know, especially if you don't have any money. You know, like right now is the time where a lot of people are losing their jobs, you know, and a lot of people are lonely by themselves, and they want people to know who they are right now. And with this whole thing that's going on right now, it's hard for people to actually try to talk to someone because they don't have that money. So that confidence is a little low. But a person with confidence, even if, you know, if a person got confidence, like me, if I don't have money, my confidence is there. I will come at you and talk to you and try to see who you are, you know. But, you know, like you said, don't make it personal. However, you got to make it personal. It's no way around it, you know, because everyone.
I don't think you got to make it personal. I think you can, you know what I'm saying, keep it on the surface. Like, you know, I know when you and I met, like, you went above and beyond to, you know what I'm saying, like, impress me, you know, as far as, like, taking me on our first date, which was dope, you know. But we not going to get into all that, you know what I'm saying? We're going to go to our next caller. We have a Wisconsin caller with the exchange.
Wait, I'm sorry.
He
told me to let him
respond
to that. He went
over. No.
What happened, St. Louis? How did that go?
No, he don't need to. He don't need to respond. He going off into a tangent. He's trying to profess his love. Brother, hang up. We gonna go to the next caller. And Lady B, you said you had something to say. Go ahead. You got the mic.
So, like the brother from Atlanta, he was saying that, you know, a guy doesn't like, where are we going with the 100K, 200K? Like, for me, I know it don't matter about money, because my thing is, when we broke, I need you to be able to still show me that you love me without money. And I can't say, with my ex-husband, we learned how to date each other with no money. Because at one point, he was the only one with a job, and I wasn't, because we were military. So I was a stay-at-home wife. But on my date nights, they was lit, because we would do picnics, we would take walks. We got to learn each other on a more intimate level.
So our dates were more bond for the fact that we learned how to date without money. So for me, that's why I say money is not everything. And you got to figure out where you're going. Like, why does money have to be a big factor? Because even with money, it don't make you happy. You can have all the money and just not be happy, period. Or y'all could be broke and love each other and be the happiest couple, and people trying to figure out why y'all so happy and y'all broke. Because we got all this other stuff.
I agree with that. I completely agree with that. Because I have a friend who, there was a nice, one of my bands, there was a nice guy who really liked her and wanted to take her out, but he didn't have the money. And I guess they were supposed to go to the movies one day, and he didn't have the money, and he told her he didn't have the money, and she kind of dissed him. You know what I'm saying? And I actually advised her, like, dang, you know, he might have been the one. Maybe y'all could have went to the $5 Tuesday movie. You know what I mean? But she didn't want to give him a chance because, you know, she felt like he didn't have the money for the movie. You know, so I completely understand what, and I agree with what V is saying. Money isn't everything, you know, because you can get creative. Maybe you don't have a lot of money. We can go to the lake and take a walk and talk to each other and get to know each other. So it's not always about the money. I completely agree with that.
I agree with that.
So I agree with you too. It's not, I think when people say they don't date broke, it's not necessarily or whatever, like your pocket's broke. You know what I'm saying? Like Kiana said earlier, like, hey, if you got that hustle mentality, that's money right there. You know, my dad was a hustler, and, you know, it didn't matter. And I love that quality and that characteristic in him, because I knew regardless of what, hard times, good times, we was always going to eat. So when I look for a man, those are some of the characteristics I look for. Now, he may not have it now, or he may not be able to, you know what I'm saying, provide now, but I'm cool with a picnic and a $5 movie, you know, but I don't know, you know what I'm saying, I ain't gonna be doing it forever. You gotta have a plan. We ain't finna be broke forever. That's just me. And I don't think I switched up.
That part,
I think I'm consistent.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
I think
I'm consistent with that.
I hear what you're saying on that part. Like,
yeah.
I mean, now that we have our family shoes, we'll go to a $5 date night in a minute with all the kids. It's expensive when you start having a family and kids. Things get a little more expensive when you're trying to date. So, y'all, we'll do a $5 real quick and take the kids to the lake. We family date night. So, I get it. You know, and even with the potential part, it's length to it. Like, I mean, but in a marriage, it's like we're taking each other better or for worse. So, if my man now all of a sudden ain't got no job, and he's been without a job for 2 years, God said, for better or worse, I can't just up and leave this man because he ain't been unemployed for 2 years and we're still working on his potential. God better send a dream, and we still want to quick and open the door, because it's like, okay, am I going to leave him? What I'm going to say? But if you love this man, step to his heart, better or worse, I'm here to stay.
All right. So let's go to our Milwaukee caller. It looks like somebody with the exchange 6484. Last four digits of your number, 6484. You are live and on the show.
Hello. My name is Renita.
Hi, Renita girl.
Hey, Namaya. So I have a comment, and I also have a question.
Okay.
So I know you mentioned earlier about, you know, what a guy can bring to a table. And also in exchange, my question is, as a woman, what do you bring to a table? And why is it wrong if a man says to you, I make $100,000, so I want you to make $100,000. So it's one of those situations where you can say, oh, I cook, I clean, I do all these different things. That's the same thing that a man can say as well. There's a lot of men that stay at home now with their children, and the woman goes to work. I just kind of feel like, as Black women, sometimes we cut the potential off of a man based on how much money he makes. Now, I noticed one of you all said earlier, if he makes $50,000, that's not enough. If you give me a man with $50,000 and an 800 credit score, I'm running with it.
Say that.
Because that 800 credit score is way more than that $50,000.
Absolutely.
So kind of like,
say that again.
So it isn't one of those situations where you kind of got to look at the situation. I noticed that the conversation, a lot was based on money, but that's the question, you know, while dating, while broke. A man with 50 grand and an 800 credit score, never broke at all. He can walk on any lot, pull anything off the lot. He can go buy a house, any kind of house. That credit score is dead right. And that's something that we just don't always look at. So I guess that was my comment. And my question is, what are some of the things that we bring to the table besides cooking and cleaning and, per se, the vagina?
And I think you said something that, you know, we don't... Thank you for your comment. I think you said something that we're going to talk about later on. You're talking about men staying at home. And I think that that's one of the issues that we have up in our community where the roles are reversed. Like, why is it okay for a man to not provide for his family?
Right.
Why are we okay with men staying home and taking care of the children? Isn't that the woman's... And I'm not trying to be monogamous or any... I mean, like... monogenistic or anything like that. Like,
yeah,
I think it's important.
Yeah,
but I mean, I feel like our roles have changed. You know, we pacify men. Yeah, and that's a problem, though. We pacify these men, we baby them, and at the end of the day, like, a man should be a man. And if you want a man to be a man, we got to stop treating them like females and being okay with them giving us partial, you know what I'm saying, like, their potential. Like, yeah, you got the potential to do X, Y, and Z and lead the family, but, like, if you don't want to do it, if you ain't got that drive, like, me, personally, I can't respect that. And I don't think that I've had a problem with dating any kind of guy or anything like that because, you know what I'm saying, they know what I'm bringing to the table off jump. You know, my daddy raised a wonderful woman, you know, and I've always had, you know what I'm saying, guys who respect what I brought to the table. And I don't think I have to, like, you know, bullet point my, you know what I'm saying, attributes as a woman. You know what I'm saying? The person that I'm going to get intimate with, they'll know that, or they'll see me, they'll watch me, you know, and anybody who I'm not for, that's just it. I'm just not for them, you know, and I don't go through life or whatever worrying about who I'm not for or anything like that because I know what I'm bringing to the table, you know?
Right. So but, it's a preference.
Yes, it's absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I prefer a man to be a man and a man to take care of me, you know what I'm saying, and the family.
So,
I got my own.
Not be a man. What? So if he stays at home with his kids and you go to work, that makes him less of a man?
It doesn't make him less of a man, but it makes him not a provider. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not for my lifestyle and what I want in life or whatever. I want my husband or the man that I'm with to provide for me. My love language is, you know, gifts and words of affirmation. I like taking trips. I like going places. I like doing stuff. That's just me. I'm not for everybody.
I'm sorry. I have a comment, though, on that. Like, and I'm just saying this because I know a couple where the woman is the one that goes to work. And I know this is the topic for another show, and we can delve deeper into this on that show. But I know a couple, the woman is the one that goes to work. The guy is the one who stays home with the kids. He does the cooking, the cleaning. He makes sure the house is good. She's the one that goes to the house. But he's very much the man. He's very yeah. much the one who leads the home. You know what I mean? So I don't think it makes him less of a man, or I don't think it makes him, it's not that he doesn't provide, because he provides the home life for the family. He's the one that provides the cooked meals. He's the one that takes care of her when she comes home from work. He's the one that gets the kids and makes sure the kids are taken care of. So it's a little different. Just because the roles are reversed, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's not a man or he's not providing or taking care of the household. He's taking care of the household in a different way.
Did I say he wasn't a man?
Well, yeah, he wasn't providing. You said he wasn't a provider.
I said he's not a provider. So, I mean, he provides different ways for my life and what I want. And if I did say that, I apologize or whatever to the men that are out there that's doing that for their families. But for me and my life, I want a man to work. I want a man to hustle. I want a man to get out in the street. And I want him to do more than I do. And I want him to bring something more than what I'm bringing to the table. Because that's just me. That's my preference. And that's what I'm
so it's, so it's a preference, basically. That's what you're saying. It's your
my
preference.
Preference. Like, I mean, it may change down the road, but you know what I'm saying? For me right now in my life, that's just what I want. But I'm not even supposed to be talking. Toya, you should have answered that question. Like, Toya, you quiet. Like,
yes. It's wine.
What was the question again?
Question was about a man staying home and being a part of, you know what I'm saying, the family and taking care of the home while the woman goes and works. And then it was also like, what do you bring to the table as a woman?
Well, no, I'm not cool with a man staying at home, taking care of home. That's something that a woman's supposed to do. That's pretty much how I was raised. I was raised where my mother took care of the home. She worked also, but she did the things that a woman does in a home as far as cook, clean, take care of the home, do the shopping, so forth. So a man being in a home, no. No, he's supposed to get out there, as you said, hustle and make more money than I do. He's supposed to do more. That's what I see my dad do. My dad was a provider.
Why does that a provider, though, for y'all? Why does the money, go get the money, why does that equate to provider?
I think I was raised Muslim, and I think that that's what he equates to. You know, in a Muslim culture, you know, it doesn't, a man doesn't sit home and raise the kids. That's the woman's job. And I just haven't been able to divorce those viewpoints when it comes to family. That's me.
That's,
you know,
how I was
it's
raised,
not everybody else.
Okay.
My father, he was a provider, period.
Yeah, I was raised with two parents, so I see my daddy provide. I mean, my mother, they weren't together, but my father was off. He was remarried, and he provided for the household. So I mean, when you see something, that's what you do. You emulate that. That's what I see. That's what a man, I want a man to do the same thing.
So you see it from your daddy, and that's who I saw it from. I saw it from my father. My father provided for the household. My mom and my dad were married. And they divorced later on, and my mom had two additional children. And my mom, you know, my dad would come when I lived with my mom, and he would provide for all of us, even the kids that wasn't his. Like, on my birthday, everybody got a gift. And that was one of the things that I appreciated about my father. So when I look for a man, those are the characteristics that I want to see in a man that I marry, because I wouldn't want him to treat the children that are not biologically his some type of way, you know what I'm saying, because I grew up in a blended family. And that's, again, that's just me. That's my preference. That's what I want.
Yeah, like my dad made sure I had school clothes every school year. Like, he would bring my mother money to... I seen him give her this money, like, go buy her school clothes, go buy her summer clothes. Like, he was a provider. That's all I really know.
Okay, so from what I know, maybe I might, my situation might be so different because I didn't grow up like that, seeing a man provide. My grandmother was a provider. My mother assisted as well, but I grew up differently, so I might have different outlook on, you know, men, how they provide. But just my life now, my adult life, I don't mind paying the bill. I don't mind buying my man stuff, or, you know, if I'm dating and I'm into you and I know it's something you like, I don't mind buying that. I don't consider myself a trick. I don't consider him less than a man because he accepted a gift. Or if I chose to, you know, buy a drink when we were out, I sent you a drink, or I jumped out and paid for our meal. I don't consider that person being less of a man. I've been living my best life, you know, and I've been on the most dates. I'm a dater. I'm a serial dater. But I respect the men. If I'm on a date, I respect them, and I respect their time. I appreciate the things they do, but I'm a lady, you know, and I present myself as such. And it's not all about money all the time. And sometimes I think you need to be in tune with, if you're dating someone, when they are down, you need to be able to be in tune with that. And I guess you guys saying money, 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 if he can't do this, I don't think you'll ever be in tune with someone, because you won't be able to respect when they don't have money, when they can't provide, because you feel like that's their sole position. So
I think it's a difference though, Tavy. Like, we talking about, like, I'm coming from, like, hey, you ain't got money or whatever, but you got that hustle. So when you're a hustler, it doesn't matter if you have money or not. You always know how to make money. So that's the type of man that I can date without money. So, I mean, I think it's a two-part situation. It's just not, you know what I'm saying, something that's like, you know, like a blanket statement. Like, hey, if you ain't got this amount of money for me. But well, the hustle
means a lot.
Toya, you should speak up, because you said $100,000. You stood strong on that. $100,000.
Yeah.
But
I mean, as I'm sitting here listening to you guys, I mean, it was things that I didn't say at the beginning, but the hustle does mean a lot. I mean, you got to hustle. You don't always be able to get money. But $100,000,
I mean... out here selling
wristbands. Get a job. I mean, like I said, that's money we tax. You got to understand, when you make $100,000, you're not bringing that home.
You said it, not me. You said $100,000.
We all know that, though. You know, Uncle Tom, Uncle Sam, whatever, he takes money. He takes this portion.
I think we should just be careful when we out dating or you doing your social media dating and you're making statements like that, you know. And I think that men come different. A lot of them don't know. A lot of to the point of, I think the guy from Atlanta, he stated that most men in the Midwest are poor, or they don't work, or they, you know, they've been in jail or whatever may you. And sometimes it takes a woman to help them with that extra push, that potential.
Absolutely,
push. It
okay.
does. And every hustler don't just go out. Sometimes that woman is getting that push with that hustle. So I don't know.
But I mean, I'm not, and this is just personally, I'm not in a market to be raising no man. That's just me.
I didn't say raise. I ain't taking care of him either. I ain't raised. I said push.
I mean, but like, if I got to tell you, like, hey, you got to get out here and do this, you got to do that, you know what I'm saying? Like, that, it kind of, that makes me lose respect for you. If I got to tell you what to do.
Something you excel in, you can excel in, I'm going to push you to do that. You might be over here, hey, baby, this looks really profitable right here. Let's figure this part out. You can go out here and get that. That's a push. That's not me making.
You're right, sis. I got it. I get it. We got one more caller that I want to go to before we give our final closing remarks. Milwaukee Exchange 0242. You are live and on the air. Do you have any questions or comments for our panel or our guests? Hello? Milwaukee 0242, last four digits of your number. All right. Okay. Well, that caller didn't have anything to say. Tavy, you want to hit us up with the last remark for the show? Because, I mean, this conversation was great. Like, we talked and we learned some stuff. So I'm in awe right now.
Yeah, so there's levels to being broke, as we all pointed out. So the topic was great. I appreciate everyone giving their viewpoint. It's a tough conversation because everybody has their definition of broke, right? And what it means to date a man or a woman and what you want out of them. Everyone's different. The time frame and now, there's a lot of broke people. They gotta get it, you know, get it how they live, I guess, at this point. But I do respect everyone that shared their points, their views, and just again, some other time, right? Should we do like a part two?
I mean, yeah, we could probably do a part two of this. We'll see.
We'll spin on it. But
I think we should change the topic, though, because dating while broke, it was kind of broad. We didn't really get, I don't know. We'll talk about it.
Anything, Shawnee?
Well, yeah, I want to first and foremost thank our guests for, you know, participating in this discussion. Girl talk, you know what I'm saying, was dope. You know, I got my glass of wine. It's girl talk time. This was fun. And we definitely have to, you know, talk, do these things again, you know, have girl talk. But I don't think that, you know, and I want our audience to know that, you know, my viewpoints are not signature to, you know, After Seven panel. Like, we all are a diverse panel, and we have our own specific viewpoints. As you've seen, you know, we don't agree on almost anything, you know, especially on Dating While Broke, you know, and that's fine, but we can still work together. So, again, thank you guys for joining us.
You're welcome.
See you, Tavy.
I'm giving you nothing. I'm sick of you coming in here asking for my keys. You trifling. You need your own car.
I'm just going out
here. Come take them. I'm sick of
you. Yasser, why are you bugging?
First we started out real cool, taking me places I ain't never been. But now you're getting comfortable, ain't doing those things you did no more. You're slowly making me pay for things your money should be handling. And now you got to use my car, drive it all day and don't fill up the tank. And you have the audacity to even come and step to me, ask to hold some money from me until you get your check next week. You're trifling, good for nothing type of brother. Silly me, why haven't I found another? A baller, when times get hard, need someone to help me out. Instead of a scrub like you, who don't know what a man's about. Can you pay my bills? Can you pay my telephone bills? Can you pay my automobiles? If you did, then maybe we could chill. I don't think you do, 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 do. Help me out instead of